Kumlana Black Gemara, we are in Daf Memhei, Amr Aleph, if everybody can mute themselves, I'm in the Sechta Edevin. We are about 8 lines on the top. We're still continuing the discussion about about Chum Shabbos. And the last thing we learned was in the Mishnah was that if somebody had permission, for example, he was going to help somebody who was sick, or he was going to do Kiddush HaChedish, or he was going to a war, whatever it is, then and turned out to be that he didn't have to go because they somebody else came already from Hatzolah and saved that person and so on. Then instead of giving him just 4 amas because he's outside the chum, we give him 2,000 amas. Wherever it ends up, and if the 2,000 amas happens to then encroach into his original chum, then he can continue going as if he wants. And then the Mishnah continues: anybody who goes out to save somebody's life can go back to the original, go back to their place. And you might understand what's going on here, because it seems to contradict itself. So we're up to here, the two dots, about 10 lines at the top. Go back to the place. Says the Gemara, I feel the two more than 2,000 amas. You just said Alpai Mama. The beginning of the Mishnah says, it turned out to be that your services were necessary, you can go back only 2,000 amas. And here it seems to say that you go back to your original place. What's going on here? Says the Gemara, we're not talking about going back to your original place. We're talking about choizin b'klei zayin l'mekayman. You're allowed to go back. If, let's say, you went to war, you have your weapons, and even though the weapons you're carrying are no longer necessary for Shabbos, you're allowed to bring them back home, even though you're going through a shusar rabim because of a pikuach nefesh. And we allow you. My kusha. I don't find the question in the first place. Dilma lahatzel shiny. Maybe when we're talking about the saving people and so on and so forth, it's different. And when it comes to war, maybe that, you know, we should let you go back to the original place. The beginning of the mission doesn't spell out that you're going to war, just said you went with Rishus. So there you went with Rishus and it turned out to be, you know, whatever, you finish doing whatever you're doing, or you turn out to be you don't need it, so you only have 2,000 amas. If you're going for war, it's pekuach nefesh, you can go all the way back. What's the steal in the first place? The Mishnah is talking about if you're going for Eidus HaChodesh, you're helping a woman out to give birth, or some other Hatzalah service. Eli Kash HaKash, this is our problem. That now we learned in Gemara Rishon, we'll see, but Yishayna, in the beginning, Loi HaYezazim Misham Kol HaYayim, let's say somebody traveled outside of the Tchum to report that they just saw the new moon. So once they reported it, they would stay there, they would be stuck, they wouldn't go anywhere. Because they went out of the Tchum, all they have is 4 Amos. So initially they put the letter of the law. Once you got there, you relayed your information, you were stuck by the bezin, you couldn't walk more than 4 amas. Obviously people stopped coming. You know, why would they want to ruin their whole Shabbos? Hiskin Ruach. We give them 2,000 amas in any direction. And then it says in that Mishnah, not only do we give 2,000 amas to these people who went to report the Kiddush HaChayit in the new moon, even a woman came to help assist another woman give birth. And then it says, clearly, also we include, we also came to allow 2,000 amas if somebody came to save us from moriders or from some enemy group of fighters. So it says clearly here that if you're coming, you know, from war, all you have is 2,000 amas. Or minhanor, or let's say the riverbank's about to be flooded and you want to protect your property, or minapad pelus, or from some kind of an avalanche. And all of these cases, or minadlika, and what's it called, from a fire. And all the they have 2,000 amas. So it's clearly in the Mishnah of Shoshana, it says, from an army you have 2,000 amas. And our Mishnah concludes, you can go back to Mekayman. So therefore we answer, our Mishnah in Mekayman means that you're allowed to bring, you still have your 2,000 amas, but you're allowed to take your weapons with you. Says the Gemara, and no more, you tell me on 2,000 amas, but amas, you just said, this is the question. The question was, only 2,000 amas, it says in our Mishnah that you can go back to your original place. That's what it sounds like. And therefore, I'm going to view the Malav, that they can go back to their, wherever they go back to their place, it means with their Klei Zion, with their weapons. But how far? Only 2,000 amas. But Mekayman over here does not mean back to the original house. Mekayman means to the place where they're allotted, which is 2,000 amas. But the Chiddush here is, that they can carry their weapons back. In Tanya, we learned, Body Shine in the beginning, Hayim and Nichin, they would allow Klezainen, sorry, they place Klezainen by Zonokhaimen. They come into the city, so not to carry any further. They found a private place, a discreet place. They would all take off their weaponry and put it in this house. Pamach is once, Hikida ben Oivin, the enemies realize what's happening here, that nobody has weapons inside the city. They all put it, you know, in some house. The Rodfu Achrein chased after them. Benichin Sulit Klezainen, everybody ran into this one house to get their weapons. So you can imagine what happened. The enemies came in afterwards. Doch guzeze was so squishy inside the house. They killed each other through their own hands, through, you know, through friendly harm, more than from the enemy harm. His boys are sure that moment his kingdom made and enacted a new law. They can bring it back to wherever they can walk to, put their weapons there in a safe place. Rav Nachmishah gives another answer on the stira. How come our Mishnah says that you can go back to your place, sounds like back to the original place, and how come over there it says that you can only go 2,000 amis? So he answers, like Kasha, can't she not Chu Yisrael, the Eden were victorious, then they can only go 2,000 amis, and no more, because no longer Pekuch Nefesh. Can't she not Chu Yisrael, they were victorious over the Goyim. Can't she not Chu Umas HaOlam as Atzma, if the Goyim were victorious, however, then we allow you to go back home, and so on, so you should be ready to fight a war again. The following Gemara is a Gemara that brought down a Shulchan Aruch that the Rebbe continuously used to quote, and as a basis for why Eretz Yisrael should not give back any land. Shlomo Goren used to quote Lo Yisachonim, you know, you're not allowed to give land to a guy for free, and so on. And the Rebbe used to quote this following Gemara over here, because it's Sakonis Nefashas, as we'll see, about border towns. Not like others that give everything back. Amar Yimadav, Nochrim Goyim Shetzoru Ala Yoriz Yisrov, Goyim surrounded Yiddisha cities. Ein Yoytzim Alein B'Klei Zainan on Shabbos. Don't go out and greet them with weapons. The Ein Mechalin Alein is a Shabbos. You're not Mechal Shabbos. Now what's going on here? Goyim are coming to, are surrounding you. They're coming to attack you, and you're not going to protect yourself. Over there, we're talking about a case, as Mar will explain, we're not coming to attack, to harm us. They just want to pilfer and pillage and plunder. So for that, we're not allowed to mechal Shabbos. Tanya nami hochi nochin shetzor of Edvar muri yishibol iske moment. They're coming to plunder. Avo bo al iske nefosha. They're coming to harm the Eden. Yoytzin alein b'klei zainin. Go out and greet them with your weapons. Umechal le Shabbos and mechal Shabbos. Then it says, Bryson, this is the part. Ubi ira smuchel esfar, but a border town. I feel like Boal is going to flush us. Even if they say they're not coming to harm anybody, Kevin, all they want is to buy straw, or they want to deal with straw, whatever it is, they want to take straw. They're not coming to harm anybody. And that's all they're coming. And the idea is straw has no value. Who cares if they take it? Who, you know, straw doesn't really have value. Yet Yaitzin Alein Beklei Zayin Umechalash Bechal Shabbos. Why? But the Goyim are saying they're coming for peaceful things, not coming to harm anybody. And why? Because you're exposing the rest of Eretz Yisrael. Because if they take over this town, this border town, the rest of Eretz Yisrael becomes vulnerable. Amar Rabbi Yishmael Yumi, it's not on Eretz Yisrael. Amar Nachman, Ubovel ki ir hasmucha l'svar dome. And you have certain parts of Bavel also, so no, it's not just a din Eretz Yisrael. Anywhere where you have a lot of Eden living together, the border towns are there to protect the Eden from outsiders, and therefore any city that that's on a border that is that can, if it becomes vulnerable, the rest of the Bavel will be vulnerable. You have to protect it, Michal Shabbos, and so on and so forth. And what are we talking about? The Targum of Nedoy, we're saying this is the city of Nedoy. So Nedoy was a large Yiddish city. You're allowed to defend it on Shabbos if Goyim are coming there for whatever reason with weapons and Mechal Shabbos. So this is what Rabbi used to say, that if even though the Goyim say they come for peaceful terms, when it comes to a border town, you don't give it up, because as it says here, on Shabbos, so it's Mechal Shabbos, it doesn't matter what they claim. Even if it's coming to say they're getting straw, which has zero value, you should not trust them, because you're making everybody else vulnerable. Dorsh Abnu Stoy, Dibi Beit, Abnu Stoy, Dibi Beit, says, Mai Dich Siv, it says in Pasik, Vayagidu L'Dov Elayim, they told David the following, He plished him, Nulchamim B'Ke'ila, the plished him fighting in Ke'ila, V'Hei Meshoysim, and they're stealing Esagranas, the granaries. why do we need to know that? Or what's going on here? Why do they tell them what they're doing here? So the Gemara is like this. Vayemashav David, so David turned around to David and told David, Lech go, v'yikisa b'plishtim, you go and fight, wage a war against them. And even though all they're doing is coming to plunder from their threshing floors, nevertheless, go out there and fight them, v'hoishaita, and I want you to help out as Keilah, the city of Keilah. What was David's question to Hashem? David asked Hashem, should I go and fight these Plishtim? The Plishtim are fighting a place called Keilah. The Hema Shoisim is Agronis, and they're stealing and plundering all these threshing floors. Tana Keilah, Ir Hasmuchel is Farhaisa. What do we know about Keilah? It was a border town. The Hema Bo Eliska Kashatavan. All they wanted was to steal the grains. The Chesivit says, Hema Shoisim is Agronis. They were robbing and plundering the threshing floors or the granaries. The Chesivit says, By Yishal Dovid Bashem Lema. Dovid turned around to Hashem and asked the following question. Should I go wage a war against this Plishtim? Now we'll see in a minute what exactly was David's question. Why not? Go fight them. And go and save the city of Keilah. What was exactly David's question? If he's asking a question, am I allowed to or not allowed to? And the story would have happened on Shabbos. He wanted on Shabbos. Can they go Michal Shabbos? Because these people are only coming to steal from us. He could have asked the Bezdin of Shmuel. What's he asking the Eibishter for? In fact, he's supposed to ask the local, the bezin here, Tredel B'Shemayimi. Ella, his question was, E matzliach or le matzliach? It wasn't Shabbos. His question was, will he be matzliach or not? But what do we see from the story? That this is a very important event, more than a normal event. It says, go fight, v'hoishaites keilah, you will be successful, and you will save the city of Keilah, Shemamina, but even though it didn't happen on Shabbos, but because we see how important it is, and David asked the question right over here, it tells us that on Shabbos, you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos if it's a border town. He didn't ask for every war, he didn't ask, should I go, will I win or not? But here he did ask, because the border town is much more vulnerable, as Rashi explains, to make the rest of it so exposed. Okay, says the Mishnah. Don't know if you have any pictures there. It says, Mishnah Misha Yosha Baderech, if you're going on your road, Amad, and you stopped the road, and you saw, what happened was you settled down somewhere Friday night, you didn't realize, you thought you were somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and then Shabbos morning, when it became light outside, suddenly you realize you're close to the town. And the question is as follows, if you were Koine Shvisa Friday night, that means that's your home, and therefore you're only allowed 2,000 Amos, and even go towards the direction of the city, and even though you entered the city, wherever your 2,000 Amos end, that's the distance you can walk. But the thing is, the only reason why you stopped there is because you had no idea you were so close to the city. It was dark. So what happened? You stopped somewhere in the road, and then you stood up, and you saw how do you saw it clear? You realize in the morning you're right next to the city. What happens then? So no, your intention was to stay here, not because you didn't want to be in the city, you just didn't realize there was a city there. So the fact of the matter is, you had no intention of going to the city. And therefore, your shvis is wherever you are. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Yechanes, you can enter the city because here there wasn't an intention to actually make your place of residence where you are over there nowhere. Because if you would have realized that the city was next door, definitely you would have wanted to be in the city for Shabbos. Why not? Omer Rabbi Yehuda says, and I'll prove it to you. Ma'isa Hoya, a similar story once happened to actually Tarfon. And the nichnas of Tarfon below Miskam. And Tarfon then entered the city on Shabbos because he had no intention on Friday not to be in the city. He just didn't realize that there was a city so close. So, says the Gemara. Tanya Lundam Yehuda Maisa, the story goes a bit further. Maisa, but Tarfon Shem Halab, but there was traveling, even Chashaychaloi became Shabbos. The Lord Chutzli, so he resided wherever he was outside the city. Lashachis in the morning, Mitzau Roy Boker. He found his shepherds. Omlei Rebbe, Hadi Ilfanecha. What are you doing over here? Such a big tzaddik. The city is right around the corner, 10 minutes from here. He konis. Why don't you go in? Nichnis. He went into the city and seemed like it was outside of the tchum from where he remained Friday night. Where he resided Friday night, and the Yosher Beis Hamedrash. He went to the shul. The Dorash Kolayim Kulin. Everybody was fortunate that he dashed the whole day. So that's Rabbi Yehuda's raya. Amar Loi, they responded to Rabbi Yehuda's no raya. Mishom raya. Maybe Shem Beli B'Hoyisa. How do you know that he didn't know there was a city there, and his intention was always to get to the city in Shabbos? Oy Beis Hamedrash move the chum. How tall you walked outside the chum? Maybe the Beis Hamedrash was within the 2,000 amas that was allotted to him from his place of residence Friday night. So the story doesn't prove anything, either way. Next Mishnah. Somebody who went to sleep on Friday night, he went to sleep before Shabbos for a little dremel. As we know that it says in Sforim, it's a big inyan to go to sleep Friday afternoon right before Shabbos. And to the extent that the Mezitcha Magid used to go to sleep every Friday right before Shabbos for about a half an hour. And Aaron Kalin, who's a very big tzaddik and unfortunately passed away very young, the head of the Stalin dynasty, Rabbi Aaron Kalin was in the shul saying Shir HaShirim. A lot of people have a custom to say Shir HaShirim Friday afternoon before Mincha. And he was saying Shir HaShirim. And the Mezitcha Magid sent a message to Rabbi Aaron Kalin and said, told him to stop saying Shir HaShirim because he's trying to sleep. And the Malachim in heaven are so excited about the Shir HaShirim Rabbi Aaron Kalin that they're disturbing the Mezitcha Magid's sleep. So he should stop. So the story not only tells you how great Rabbi Aaron Kalin's Shir HaShirim was, but it tells you even more importantly how important it was that sleep that the Magid had right before Shabbos, that because of his sleep, Rabbi Aaron Kalin had to stop saying Shir HaShirim. Anyway, so this guy went to sleep right before Shabbos, and he fell asleep for 10-15 minutes, a little nap, a cat nap. Turned out to be he slept right through Bein Hashmashes. So he didn't really have any intention whatsoever to be Kohen Shvisa, to make this his residence. He's out there somewhere in the fields. He had no real intention of making it a residence. And we're going to have a machlekes whether we say that's it, this is his residence, doesn't matter, he lives near a city, he's not far from a city, and therefore his tchum follows his new residence. Or do we say no, because he had no kavana, therefore this is not really his residence. And in the Gemara, we're going to compare it to the concept which we already mentioned before about Hefker. If, you know, we're going to learn Gemara Beya, that your items have the same tchum as you do. So if somebody comes and wants to take something from you on a Shabbos, he cannot take it further than the tchum that you're allowed to carry it, even though he might have a different tchum. Or on Yom Tov, he cannot take it back outside of your tchum because your kelim have the same tchum as you. What is something that's Hefker? So one opinion is Hefker is also Kohen Shvisa. Wherever they were lying, beginning of Shabbos or Yom Tov, that's the tchum, and you cannot take it on Yom Tov especially, you cannot carry, you can carry. You cannot take it outside the tchum that's originally utensil. And others say that Hefker, since it has no intention, has no mind, is not Kohen Shvisa, and therefore you can take it wherever you want to take it, as we'll talk about a well. The water you want to transport, is it Ragli HaMimmale, is the person who filled it up, whatever his tchum is, that's where you can take the water on Yom Tov. Or is it the Ragli of the Meh Be'er, wherever, you know, the water of the Be'er is sitting, and that's all you can take is the tchum of that. And we're going to want to try to compare a person sleeping to Kalim of Hefker, because both of them have no intention. Do we say automatically that becomes your residence or not? So we'll see in the Gemara and the Mishnah. So the Mishnah, Mishi Yoshim, that he was sleeping, he didn't realize Shabbos was coming in quickly, and he had no intention to be Kohen Shvisa, is Yesh Loi Alpayim Am L'Chalul. You have 2,000 Am in all directions. The Chacham say, Ein Lo El Arba Am. The Chacham say, no, so Rabbi Yechon Nuri says that you have 2,000 Am in all directions. We'll more explain what's going on here. And the Chacham say that no. That Ein Lo El Arba Am. He was never Kohen Shvisa. He was never Kohen because he was asleep. And all you have is 4 Am in each direction. So a total of 8 Am you have, and so on, because since you were not in the original place, you were here, you were outside the original tchum, and you had no intention to be Kohen Shvisa, so you're outside the tchum. Outside the tchum, all you're allowed is 8 amis. Rabbi Lez agrees with Rachamim that you're outside of your tchum, and therefore you're not Kohen Nu Shvisa, but he says you only have 4 amis allotted to you, you're right in the middle, you have 2 amis on your right, 2 amis on your left, not like Rachamim that say you have 4 amis in each direction. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree again with these two, but you have 4 amas, but you don't have to be in the middle. You can use the 4 amas on your right side, use it on the left side, whichever one you want. Whichever side you can go, 4 amas. Rabbi Yehuda, however, was moides. She'im bidolai. Once you decided that you're 4 amas, let's say you're going to go to the west, that's it, you can no longer change your mind. Okay, that's the first part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah is, what happened? Shnayim, let's say 2 people that both of them extended their tchum, but different distances. And what happens that my 4 amis, you allowed 4 amis at the end. If my 4 amis ends at a certain point, and your 4 amis ends 2 amis beyond that point, which means that there's 4 amis that we over, my outer 2 amis overlaps with your, is your inner 2 amis. So we're allowed to sit and have a meal together within those two amas because we share those two amas. And the chiddush is, we're not worried that maybe you're going to put food in the middle and I'm going to take some of that food and bring it into my two amas, which is outside of your two amas, that you know you're in the two amas, and I'm now taking the food away outside of its chum, the area that's allowed it to. We're not worried about it. As long as you're cautious, and you shouldn't take things from you and put it in your friend's side of the two amas, which you're not allowed to go, or vice versa, because your belongings at the same chum as you. Okay, there were three people. And there were three people, so each an area of eight amas. The first person had four amas on the right. The second person had four amas in the middle, so which means, and the third person has four amas to the left. So the first and third person, their amas are contiguous to each other, but they don't overlap. The middle person has two amas sharing with the first person and two amas sharing with the second person. So the din of here is, he's right in between, he overlaps both. Who muted in my hand? The hain mutar and imay. So they both are allowed to, each one has two amas inside the middle guy, so they can eat, share with him, share in the overlapping two amas each one has. And the shnayim achitzayim asunah, but the two outer ones, the two extremities, they're forbidden with each other. Obviously, and the chiddush here is, again, we're not worried that things, foods will start moving around and people are going to put it, take food that they have no right to bring into their section, and they will do that. What is this comparable to? We'll see later. What the machlek is there is the same idea, same principle. The shalosh chatzedes, you have two courtyards, three courtyards. Hapsuchel azu, you have three courtyards. Each one, if you have a picture, you can see it. Each courtyard has an entrance. So there's a courtyard A, courtyard B, courtyard C. Courtyard A is on the right, courtyard B is in the center, and courtyard C is on the left. Each one has a door to the Shus HaRabim, so each one is an independent courtyard. You know, if you have to go from courtyard A to go to the street through B and C, then don't talk about that. B and C cannot carry unless they all make a mutual aid of. But let's say each one has their own entrance to the Shus HaRabim. So each courtyard is independent from the next one. But they also have doors to each other. So what happens like this? There were three courtyards, Apsuch HaZur, open to each other, Apsuch HaRabim also, all open to Shus HaRabim. And therefore, each one has, we're trespassing if we go to other person's chutz, so we have our own way of getting in and out. If, let's say, if the two outer ones made an eidah with the middle one, then he muteresimo, the middle one is allowed to carry with either extremity. Of the he muteresimo, but each one's allowed to carry in the middle one because they made an eidah with it. But the two extremities are forbidden to carry in the two extremities because they didn't make an eidah with each other. So it's an analogy to the case before. Says Gemara, boy, Rava, let's understand. Micah Sov Rabbi Yechimin, who said, if you slept through a Friday night, we have no intention, you're allowed, that becomes your new residence, you're allowed to carry, you're allowed to go 2,000 amos each direction. What does he hold? Does he hold Kosova? Mike Sovereign. Does he hold Hefze Hefka Koinin Shvisa? That if you have objects that belong to nobody, they have no kavanah, no intention, no boss, no master, yet it's Koinin Shvisa, so the same thing, this person is asleep, he has no intention. Automatically, he's Koinin's residence, and that becomes your new residence. You walk 2,000 amish direction. Over Dinu, so how come we only talk about a person? Why don't we talk about utensils as well? That you're allowed to, that it's Koine Shvisa and you're allowed to take it 2,000 amas from its original tchum. The Luflug B'Kelim, why Taki, rightfully the Mishnah should argue about Kelim as well, about vessels. Why do we talk about a person going to sleep? To tell you how far the Rabbanon go that even that a person asleep has nothing. The Afagav, the Ikal, the Meimar, Hoyo, the Neir, Kona, Yoshin, Amakona. By a person you can argue, okay, Kelim is not shy to have any intention. So I can say, look, the Rabbanon hold Kelim don't have any intention, they cannot acquire residence. But when it comes to a person, if it would have been up, he could have acquired residence. And maybe even if he's asleep, it's as if he acquired his new residence, and Rabbanon will agree that he now has 2,000 amas in all directions. Kamash and Delay. No. Is that what the is that Pshat Rabbi Yechonuri? Oidim, but perhaps no. Rabbi Yechonuri also holds Kalim don't have any, not Koine, any residence. And if something is Hefker, whoever picks it up on Shabbos is the one who or on Yom Tov, is the one who determines what the chum of that particular Kalim is, because now it has an owner. Chefze Kefker, Eino Koine Shvisa. V'hochan time, and how come by a person? Rabbi Yechon is only limiting it to a person because he says a person, had he been up, he could have intention, so he was asleep as if he had intention. Hoyo v'neir kona is yoshin amikar. If he had been up, he would have been koina, is asleep, also he's koina. Omer Rabbi Yechon, toshma, come in here. We learned, k'shamim, it rained. Rain, sheyardu, be'erev yamtiv. Rain came down on Erev Yom Tov, and it fell into a bucket. The question is, can you how far can you carry, transport the water in that bucket? Is yesh la'paimal choruach. It was. It sounded like the rain was koine shvisa, and therefore you can carry it. You can take it 2,000 amos from its original point. But be Yom Tov, if the rain happened to fall on Yom Tov proper, so for Erev Yom Tov there was no rain there, so it wasn't koine shvisa. Harehen kerag lekol adam, whichever person ends up picking up that bucket with the water, that's the tchum for that water. Now, i'amri bishlem kesavan. Now, so we want to know who's the author of this thing here, that water can be koine shvisa, has no mind of its own. So if we could explain, Rabbi Yechon Ben Uri holds that kelim of hefker also are koine shvisa, then we'll say that he's the author of the opinion that a bucket of water and rain, even though it doesn't have a mind of its own, the fact that it's there, it's koine, it's resident, that's its residence, and therefore you can only carry a tchum of that water. The one who holds that object that have no mind of its own are still koine shvisa. Then this follows do not choir shvisa hamani. Who is the author of this Mishnah of water? If it rains for Erev Yom Tov, you cannot take it more than 2,000 amos from its original place because it has a tchum. Who says that? It has to be somebody. So therefore, it's better to learn. Rabbi Yechon Nuri holds that objects, even though they have no mind of their own, wherever they were Friday night, that's which if they're hefker, that's where they're koine shvisa. Then it makes sense about rain. Who said, I can give you another possible explanation. The Dilma, how do you know the reason? Because of Koine Shvisa. Maybe the reason why the rain you cannot carry more than a certain place is, maybe we're talking about because we are talking about rain that's right next to a city, and the people in the city, they want that water for their for themselves, for Yom Tov. Therefore, the water takes on, because it's not Hefka, this water, the water has like a balabas. And therefore, that's why it's limited. But maybe water, there'd be no balabas, middle of nowhere, then Taki would be Hefkin, and you could take it wherever you want. Maybe. Says the Gemara, Rabbi said back to him, Loisa, you can't think so. Nah, and we learned elsewhere, because I'm going to show you there's another machleka somewhere, and it seems from there that if something is ownerless, still is koine shvisa, is koine's residence, and you can only take it 2,000 amos. So we're going to have to say to somebody who holds that, and the only one that we can think of is Rabbi Yechiel ben Uri. What's that story? Nah, we looked in the Mishnah, Boir shel Yochid, if you have a well that belongs to one private person, then Keragli Yochid, the water can be transported on Yom Tov only wherever the owner can carry, wherever his tchum is, that's where anybody else who takes that water, even though the owner gifted it to that person, can only take it in that distance, because the water had an owner beginning of Yom Tov. And what about it belongs to a city, shel Yochid, Keragli Yochid, they can only carry, where the people in the city can carry whatever their environs are, and then 2,000 amos in all directions. The Shaloyle Bava, those people who went from Bava to Jerusalem, so there were waters, you know, there's reservoirs everywhere, there was wells out there, so that make it easy for them to walk, is Keragli Hamamali. That water there belongs to no one, and therefore whichever person it is who filled up their buck with water, whatever rights that they have to walk on that particular Yom Tov, that's how far you could take that water with you as well. So therefore, let's say one person took a pail and took water and he offered it to other people. Those people cannot take it beyond the point where the person who offered them the water, who drew the water from the well, can take it. Because Kiragla and Mali. So this Mishnah clearly holds that a Hefker is not Koine Shvisa. But elsewhere, the time we learned, Boy Shoshvatim. Again, the Boy Shvatim belongs to everybody. Those are the wells that were set up from Babel all the way to Yerushalayim, those who want to make the trek for Eilat Egel. It says over there that yesh l'apayim am l'choruach. That's 2,000 amos from where the well is. In other words, even though it didn't have any owner, it belongs to everybody or nobody, and yet it's koine shvisa. There's an argument. Who holds that something ownerless is still koine shvisa? Must be kashna dadi. Elav says Abaye. You must say there must be Rabbi Yechon Nuri. He holds Shema Minoah. Har Rabbi Yechon Nuri Rabban. Must be Rabbi Yechon Nuri. The pshat Rabbi Yechon Nuri is that he holds that hefker is koine shvisa. Rabbi was very proud of himself. So before, when he came back to his teacher, Rabbi Yosef, Amalei said, Hocha kamer Rabbi Safra. Rabbi Safra asked me this question. Well, Hocha had, and this was my answer. What do you think? Amalei said, Rabbi Yosef said, I like your answer, but you could have got a better answer, or a simple answer. From the Mishnah itself. Because if you think that Gishamim has smoke in your skin, if you're talking about the way he said, that is talking about rain, that's next to the city, that was the argument. Maybe Hefke is not Kainu Shvisa, but over here, because it's next to the city, and the people in the city wanted it for themselves. So why does it say, Yesh Lehen Alofim Amaluch Apayim Amaluch Horuach? Why does it say you have 2,000 Amas in all directions? What the Mishnah should have said is, HaKiragli Anchi Oise Irabele. The whole point is that the people in the city wanted the water, so they became the owners, it should have said. And the water can only be taken exactly the way the people in the city can take it. Zaraya has nothing to do with the people in the city. Let's analyze what we just said before. Yom Tov, if the rain came down on Yom Tov itself, therefore it has no owner, it has no shvisa, and therefore every person, whoever drew the water, whatever he's allowed, that's where he can take it. Says the Gemara, why? Because we believe that all rain comes from the Yam of Kiyonis. Sometimes the Kiyonis means Atlantic, and sometimes it means all the waters in the world, because all the waters in the world are basically interconnected, except the inland rivers. But all the seas and oceans and everything else are interconnected, so we refer to all of them as Ukiyonis. So the question is, and the clouds come from Ukiyonis. So therefore this rain existed already somewhere in the oceans before Shabbos. So the Chayda was Kaina Shvisa there. And it was Kaina Shvisa there. How come you're allowed to carry the water wherever you want? It's outside the Tchum already. Why don't we say that Nukiyonis already for Friday afternoon? That's what it was. So therefore, before the clouds drew up this water, so now it's already outside the Tchum. So Luchedesh only made carry 4 amas no more. Lema, let us say the Lake Rabbi Lezer. This does not follow Rabbi Lezer. The Eger Rabbi Lezer said, Rabbi Lezer of the view that all the waters in the world are all interconnected, and therefore, according to him, any rainwater comes from Ukiyanis, so Lachayd is Kaina Shvisa. Says the Gemara, Amar Avicha Hocha, no. We're talking about, now the Gemara here is a little bit hard to understand for me at least. Hocha Ba'ovim, we're talking about the clouds that were overcast already before Shabbos, so the water was already up there. Hocha Ba'ovim Shiniskashim Ed of Yom Tov Skin. It wasn't in Atlantic Friday afternoon or Ed of Yom Tov, it was already somewhere in the sky. Says the Gemara, how do you know? Vidilma Hanuch Ozli Hanuch, maybe the clouds that were there yesterday are gone, and these are new clouds, and these new clouds formed from the ocean, from the waters in the ocean, that, you know, it was sitting in the ocean yesterday and that was drawn. So he says, the Islay Simone Begavayu, have some kind of sign that you know exactly the clouds, and tonight in the morning, it's the exact same cloud you saw 12 hours ago. Is that possible? Well, this is just, you know, theoretical. First of all, to recognize the clouds and say the clouds have been sitting in one place for 12 hours. Or you boy, Seima. Another answer is, you're right, we don't know. Havi Sofik de Divrei. We don't know whether yesterday, maybe the waters and the clouds, you know, 100 miles away and the clouds are moving over. We don't know. Or was it an ocean yesterday? And it's a Sofik. And the whole idea of Tchum is only with Rabbanon. Havi Sofik de Divrei, but Sofik de Rabbanon. And Vesar de Divrei, Lahakal. And by Sofik de Rabbanon, we are Mekel. And Tez really asks, doesn't this come under the umbrella of something which is also today and permitted tomorrow? Then we're generally not lenient, we're strict, we say wait till tomorrow already. So Tez says, but by Edev, as we'll see the Gemara soon, Edev, we always take the lenient approach. Says the Gemara, excuse me. Says the Gemara, the Liknes Shvisa Ba'avim. Okay, so it wasn't in the ocean yesterday, but it was in the clouds. The clouds are more than 2,000 amas away from down here on the ground. So why don't we say that the rain from the clouds to the ground is more than Tchum, and you can't take it more than 4 amas? Why are you allowed to carry it to whatever distance you want? Or wherever it lands, 2,000 amas in all directions. Tivshim, it must be, is only one possible conclusion, because it's above 10 Tfachim, and therefore there's no Tchum there. We had a question before, a few days ago, whether there's Tchum Shabbos or Yom Tov, if you're flying or above 10 Tfachim. Let's bring a proof from here that there is no Tchum above 10 Tfachim. Otherwise, how can you take rain? All rain comes from the clouds, which is above 10 Tfachim, and it's more than 2,000 amas away. So why don't Tivshim, let's resolve from here, there ain't Tchum in Lamayim Yud, that there is no Tchum in above 10 Tfachim, because if there is Tchum in above 10 Tfachim, Liknei Shvisa Ba'avim. So therefore, let's say that it has a residence yesterday in the clouds, according to those who say that the rain, this price, all that the rain is kind of a residence, and therefore you shouldn't make the carry more than 4 amas. No, maybe there is chumin above 10 tefachim, but Umaya be'iva mivla b'liya. Since the water was inside the cloud, you cannot see the water. Therefore, it's as if non-existent. And if it's non-existent, it wasn't koine any shvisa Friday night. So even though it traveled more than the tchum, it has no place of residence. But I was sitting in the clouds in the evening, but in the clouds, it was in the clouds, and it was not recognized a separate entity. So the Gemara makes it worse. So it was created on Yom Tov, and we have a rule that muktzah of Noyed, anything that was created on Yom Tov, is forbidden. Da'asidi. If you tell me the water does not exist on Friday night, or Yom Tov at night, because it disappeared in the clouds, and now it came to the fore on Yom Tov, so you shouldn't be able to use the water at all. It's Noyed. So I'm going to give another answer. You're right. It's not really Noyed. The water is already in the clouds. The water is continuously moving. In order to be koine a residence, you have to be stationary in one place. But the water and the clouds are continuously moving back and forth. And the clouds themselves are also constantly moving. So therefore, on the one hand, the water is there, so there's no noyled whatsoever. But nevertheless, it is no din of tchum because it wasn't koine shvisa, because you're moving the whole time. Says Yimor Hashor, Lachin, now you tell me the water moving the whole time. Ukiyon is nami. I'll answer you. You asked me a question. The water might have been sitting in the Atlantic or in the oceans yesterday. You're right. So what? But it's not koine shvisa in the oceans because the oceans are constantly moving, and anything that's moving is not koine shvisa. Nami lo likshalach. Mayi ukiyon is not meinai. Water in the kiyon is constantly moving. The Tanya we learned. Nahoris hamoshkin, rivers that are flowing. Umayonis hanovim, and springs that are flowing. Harei hen keragle kol adam. They're not koine shvisa, and whoever drew the water, whatever distance he's allowed to walk, that's the distance they can walk. And the reason is because it's constantly moving. Amar Rabbi Yaakov said, okay, well, actually, we'll stop over here. And we'll continue tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem.